Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Big Cat Banter. Here we got the man, the myth, the legend with us, David Dwork. Say hi, man.
Hey, that's quite an introduction. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So we got a lot to talk about today. We got hockey's finally back. We got our first games of preseason action on Sunday. And then as we're recording this, we're going to have game two, or technically game three, of preseason action tonight at 8 o'clock. We're recording this right now at 7. So you'll see some of our reactions to the game as things progress. But we're going to be talking about some of our observations from the first week of camp. So you got anything to say to open this up?
Well, thanks for having me on. First of all, it's awesome to be on the show for the first time and to have you as part of the Panthers group covering the team. Very cool. Welcome to the club. And yeah, I mean, just as you said, I'm super pumped for the season to be here. I think, if there was ever a good time to be a Panthers fan, it is now, right? Unless you are as old as me and can remember somewhat vividly what happened in the mid-90s when I was a young 12, 13-year-old. But, I mean, it's been since then that this team has had anywhere near the talent, the hype, and the actual possibility of being a contending team. So, yeah, I'm super excited for this season.
Yeah, I mean, 1996 was like 5 years before I was born. So the only years I really remember of the Panthers being good were 2012 and 2016. Other than that, I was kind of not alive.
Yeah, so well, that's the problem.
I'm excited for this period of time. I mean, it's the best time we've had as people around the Panthers since that time.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. There's a lot of fans that are around your age that are, you know, college age or younger or a little older that have no memory of the Panthers being anything but, you know, bad for the most part, you know, not making the playoffs, not really giving people to be much to be excited about. So this right now, what's happening, that it's a good team that looks sustainable, that's going to be a year in and year out playoff team. Like, this is the team's first chance in a really long time to build a much bigger fan base than the foundational that they've had there. These are people that have been season ticket holders forever. Now you can bring in a whole younger crowd with all this winning. So it's just a really exciting time, and hopefully they can see it through.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I walk around campus. I wear my Panthers hat around campus. A lot of people are wondering what it is, but more and more, I have people commenting on the hat as the seasons get a little bit better. And I have a feeling this season's gonna be one where they start to notice a little bit more. So it looks like Steve's picking up at FAU, and I mean, especially just going back to some news earlier on where the Panthers made themselves known on campus with the whole NIL deal with a lot of the female athletes here. It seems like the Panthers are also doing a lot for themselves to sell themselves, as well as having that big of a reach with winning on the ice. They're doing a lot of things off the ice too. So it seems like ownership is bought in and the team is ready to go.
Yeah. It's really kind of a collaborative thing right now. They've got a great ownership and group. They've got, you know, they've got a great front office. The team is there on the ice. They're doing everything they can to reach out to the community. They're building the new facility out in Fort Lauderdale, which is going to be great for the franchise. So it really looks like the stars are aligning.
Yeah. And then even at the preseason game on Sunday, it looked like there was a pretty decent amount of people at the game. It was a Dolphins game day. It was a 2 o'clock on a Sunday. It's for a preseason game. It looked like a pretty decent amount of that lower bowl was filled. It looks like they are making some traction. People are wanting to come out to these games, and it was that's an encouraging thing to see as well before we go into what exactly happened during these games.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, anybody that's been to a Panthers preseason game knows how empty that building can look for some of those games. So it was pretty cool to see so many people down by the glass having a good time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure everyone on Panthers Twitter has seen the old meme where I think Ekblad Jesus tweets the picture of the preseason game against the Predators from a couple years ago with the caption, "At the game, no one's here." So it feels like we've come a long way from that.
Yeah, well, we can only hope, right?
We can only hope, but for now, it looks good. I mean, they put together a good game. they won both of them, and all the money that they earned from that went to youth hockey. So, I mean, that move especially was something that stuck out to me when I saw the release for the doubleheader that they were doing that. So now a bunch of kids got money for hockey equipment, and a lot of people got to watch Panthers games. So looks good. And they got to see a pretty quality quality product on the ice. I mean, I know the first game, one guy that stuck out to me particular in the first game was Max Gildon. I mean, he's not the most flashy answer here. We're not talking about the goal scorers, but from what I saw during that game, he had a very, very good reach defensively. He was able to stop a lot of big plays. And I mean, that for me is something that's very encouraging for a young defenseman, that he looks very, very promising in that defensive end of the ice. What have you seen from him so far?
Yeah, that was one of the notes that I made watching Gildon in that game, was his strong positioning in the defensive zone. Maybe not the fastest guy, and it was hard to tell because, you know, if they don't situationally, they only get certain things that they can do. But in the defensive zone, he always seemed to have his heels around the crease. And as you mentioned, he had a great reach with his stick, which, you know, makes sense. He's 6'3". He's almost 200 pounds now. So it's good to see somebody that big really showing up in the D zone. I thought he moved really well without the puck. And the big thing with Gildon and with a lot of these guys, you see them playing with confidence. And that goes back to whether it's the coaching staff here that they've been getting, you know, coached up in training camp. You go back to last year when they were in the AHL. But yeah, I like Gildon. I like a lot of these young defensemen, and the Panthers are really building up a nice little stable of youth here between the forwards and the D.
Yeah, and Gildon's situation was a little bit different than some of the other younger defensemen he's competing for a spot with, because he was put on loan, sent to Bakersfield to play with the Condors. And I've heard from a lot of Oilers fans that he looked incredible during those games in Bakersfield. And I've also just got to watch some of that tape, and he got more of an opportunity to play than a lot of those other Panthers players who got sent to Syracuse, where Tampa Bay kind of got to choose who played, and a lot of guys were sat out of a lot of games in Syracuse. So he got a lot more opportunity to play. He showed a lot of playmaking ability during those games in Bakersfield, and he just looks like a very mature and confident guy for a guy who's like 23 years old.
Yeah. He looked like he looked the part. He didn't look flustered at all. Didn't look like the game was too big for him. He looked like he belonged. And I'm excited to see, you know, where Max takes his game this season. Just like I know another, you know, other guys that you want to get to. I'm not, you know, don't want to spoil the tease, but I know there's a couple of young guys you want to talk to. And it's just really nice that there's so much youth that isn't needed. Like, you're not talking about these guys that are, you know, maybe AHL, NHL fringe guys in a sense that you need them to make the NHL roster, right? The Panthers roster is so deep that these guys can marinate and develop and not get rushed into the NHL, which at the end of the day is going to make all of them so much better.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you've seen things during the offseason as well. I mean, I'll segue into another guy I want to talk about. Like we saw Frank Vetrano, his name was on the trade rumor mill for a little bit, and there was a time where a lot of us thought he was traded in that deal for Sam Reinhart. That was an interesting night where the full details weren't announced, and a lot of people in Sabres circles kind of thought that he was the guy included in that deal. So you get to the point where he's back, but there's still a lot of guys in that like bottom six conversation that could lap him. So we're all going into that game thinking he might be a guy that could be like on the move, and then he comes out and scores a hat trick in that his first preseason action. So you see him, he's back, he's fired up, and I mean, he's the same Frank Vetrano we've been seeing for the past 2 or 3 years, and that just makes a conversation to put a guy like, as we're going to get into, like a Saron Noel or Grigory Denisenko into the lineup a little bit harder to have that conversation about.
Yeah, I mean, with Frank Vetrano, he's shown the ability to be a top six player. The problem with Frank is the consistency is just not always there. And he'll have a couple weeks where he's like a point per game guy, and then he'll have a couple weeks where he doesn't really show up at all. And it's frustrating because you see it. You see the skill there. This guy can fly. He's got a quick, wicked little wrist shot. He's very accurate with this shot. He's not afraid to be physical. I mean, there's so many things about Frank Vetrano's game that you just love. So I think the big thing for him is just going to be consistency, showing up every single night. And it's hard. It's really hard, right? I mean, you heard Jonathan Huberto talk a lot about that last season, about how one of the big things for him was finding a way to bring it at that top level every single night. And it's not easy for these NHL guys, for any professional athletes. I mean, look, let's be frank. But I mean, you know, with Frank Vetrano, no, let's be frank. Wow, look what I just did. but with Vetrano, the sky's really the limit for him. He's probably not going to get a top six spot right now, because those top six spots are like as coveted as the trips to space right now with SpaceX. But the Panthers are going to, there's going to be some good line mates for Frank Vetrano, just as I'm kind of thinking about it in my head, who he's going to end up with, whether it's a Joe Thornton, an Anthony Duclair, a Mason Marchment, a Noah Achari. I mean, there's all guys with offensive upside that Vetrano's going to get a chance to play with. If he can figure out a way to be that guy every single game, it's kind of, you wonder what he can bring, because you look at Frank Vetrano as a guy that can maybe be a 60, 70 point game, point per season guy. If he can put it all together. So, you know, he's a guy that Coach Q was even saying has been flying, I think was the phrase he used, all throughout training camp. So, you know, we'll see. But, I mean, you know, the opportunity will be there for Frank. We'll see if he can run with it.
Yeah, and, like, the thing is, he doesn't even need to be that type of guy for the Panthers to be successful. And if he – anything you get out of Frank, if that's more than what you would expect out of a normal season out of him, is just an extra at this point with the amount of – talented players the Panthers have on their roster. I mean, the top six spots look like they're set in stone outside of that second line right wing spot, but now we have another
it's
guy that's
chiseled
kind of
in there right now.
We have another guy that's kind of getting into there right now is the next guy we're going to talk about. Owen Tippett is kind of surprising a few people. A lot of people thought that maybe Anthony Duclair or Patrick Hornquist might be able to take that spot on the second line, but starting the camp and preseason on that second line with Huberto and Bennett, he just looks very comfortable on that line. He's getting in the right spots, and he has a very good finishing ability as well. And he showed that he might be one of the perfect line mates to put out there with Huberto.
Well, you kind of mentioned some of the things that he's done really well throughout since he's turning pro, and that's getting to the right spots, scoring easier goals because he's reading the plays. That's stuff that he did really well in the AHL. It's stuff that it's harder to do in the NHL because the opportunities aren't there as much because there's a lot better defending. And he's starting to find those soft areas again. But he's also starting to hang on to the puck more and starting to utilize that playmaking ability a bit more, which is what we saw at the end of last season in those last six games when Q put him on that line with Huberto and Bennett. Bennett was, he didn't play all the games because he was hurt at the end of the year. Then he got the suspension in the playoffs. We don't want to talk about that. But Tippett was on that spot. The Panthers won the last six games of the regular season with Tippett in that spot. They went into the whole playoff series with Tampa with Tippett in that spot. So it's not a huge shock to see Q give him that opportunity, because you know Q's the guy that wants to put guys in the opportunity to win. We've seen it time and time again how he handles with Sergei Bobrovsky, constantly giving him a chance to become the guy that, you know, we all hoped he would be. And so with Owen Tippett, I mean, look, he's a first-round pick from 2017. It's now 2021, so it's about time to see if he's going to take that next step. And look, nobody's getting a better chance than Owen Tippett is right now, because as you said, that top six, those spots are pretty much locked in, and Tippett's the one, that right wing spot in the second line, where you could see if Tippett struggles, someone else moving in there. But he's going to get the first crack at it. And look, if he's going to take that next step, if he's going to continue to progress the way we saw him do late last season and into the playoffs, and he looked, you know, the line looked pretty solid in the one preseason game we've seen them in so far. We'll probably see them again Friday night when Dallas plays here, when the veterans should get back out there. So he's the guy that you want to root for. You want to see your top draft pick succeed. And, I mean, we know that Owen Tippett has got the offensive ability. So if he can add it and just be another complimentary piece to that second line, I mean, it's nuts to think about, because the chemistry between Huberto and Bennett, I don't think I've ever seen chemistry develop that fast between two players, maybe ever. And the only Panthers comparison I can think of in recent history would be when Yager first showed up and the Yager Huberto Barkov line was making beautiful music out of nowhere. That was fast. This, I think, is faster with Bennett and Huberto.
Yeah, for sure. And when you see how he fits into that line, you have Bennett out front being the kind of grit guy, being able to screen goaltender. You have Huberto there being able to create plays, and Bennett or Tippett also has the ability to create those plays as well. And he also possesses that shot. So you have two very good all-around players, and Tippett has a chance to develop into a little bit more of an all-around guy on the offensive end. And we've already been seeing it the past like six games. He was playing in the regular season. He saw it during the playoffs. And he really has a chance to step up and be one of the more improved players in the NHL over the next season. And that's just another dangerous thing Florida has, to where now you have a guy like Anthony Duclair, who's a very, very talented player, a guy who'd be in a lot of other teams' top six. All of a sudden, he's going to be on a third line. And then you have a guy like Patrick Hornquist, who's also a very talented guy, who would be on a lot of other teams' top sixes as well. And you might even have Hornquist on the fourth line. So like, there's a lot to unpack there with that deep forward core. And then you get all these guys that you think would be very, very talented players in the AHL that are still very young, that are kind of being locked out of roster spots just because of how deep the Panthers are.
Yep, it's a great problem for them to have. And I'm kind of jealous of Coach Q, because he's going to, it's going to be some tough decisions he's going to have to make. They're good, tough decisions. I mean, you just think about just the bottom six, like, six spots available. And you think of the guys that are going to be competing for that. You know, we talked about Vetrano and Duclair and Hornquist, Achari, Lomberg, Joe Thornton, Lamico, Maxine Mammon, Lou Steinen. I mean, these are all guys that were, aside from Mammon, we're all NHL guys last year, regular NHL guys last year. I think I just named like eight or nine players and maybe more, and there's six spots. And that's not even mentioning the younger guys or Anton Lindell. So it's like, wow, it's crazy to think about the depth the Panthers have.
Speaking of Anton Lundell, I mean, it's been one of the biggest talking points since we've gotten to the training camp. I mean, he's missed a lot of the scrimmages. He missed the two preseason games with that injury. How has that affected him? And do you think that's going to affect his chances of making it right out of camp?
I think it depends at this point. It's still early enough. Coach Q is kind of played off his injury as it's nothing major to worry about. Q did say yesterday at the rink that Lundell has been skating lightly and he's kind of progressing towards returning. You think maybe this weekend, hopefully you'll see him back out there. And if he does come back, by this weekend, then, it gives him enough time to, if he's going to fit in with that NHL squad, it gives him time to do so. And I mean, look, if he's good enough to play there, he'll get the spot. At the end of the day, the best players are going to play. It just depends on when he comes back. I think it certainly doesn't help that he hasn't played yet. He did get some time in the development camp, but again, at that point, the development camp, I think, was more to get these guys a taste of professionalism more than it was to like have them competing for roster spots or anything like that. For Lundell to get out there with the NHL guys and to get it to that level of competition, I think it's important for him. I think the longer he's out, the more it's going to hurt him as we get closer to the regular season. If he comes back in short order, as I said, then I think, there's plenty of time for him to get acclimated. So it just kind of goes into, is it as, as not big of a deal as Coach Q is leading us to believe? Is he, pretty much ready to come back out there if he's been skating lightly and all that? Then we should be fine. I'm excited to see what he can do at this level. I was excited when I saw him in at the World Junior last year, what I saw from him in Liga, speaking to Bill Zito a couple weeks before the season, he got me really excited just because of how excited he was to talk about Anton Lundell and coming over to the NHL. So I'm pretty optimistic for when he comes back. Hopefully it'll be soon. If he's as advertised, I don't think there's any way he doesn't make some kind of an impact in the NHL, whether it's in the short term or not. I think he's going to be somebody he's going to play a big part in this Panthers season when it's all said and done.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you've seen his ability to play well at every level. He played against professionals in Finland in Liga, where he scored 25 points in 26 games in Finland's top level. So, I mean, even if he does go to the AHL, he will probably outgrow that level pretty quickly, and he'll make a case to be in the NHL fairly quickly into the season, whether or not it's going to be during camp or sometime during the season. But I mean, it's a luxury the Panthers have to be able to not really have to rush him in, just because the amount of talent they have in that bottom six, or there's a lot of players out there that can fill that role and can kind of let him heal up a little bit more and get more acclimated to a point where it's not entirely a worry whether or not he's going to be there, because you know you're going to have a quality team on the ice for however long he has to develop. And there are a lot of other guys out there that we've seen that are also pretty young. If there's another young guy that kind of surprises and gets his shot at the NHL while he's kind of healing up.
So yeah, and it may end up being the best thing for him to go down and, you know, tear up the AHL for a while and, you know, gain that confidence, you know, being that he's not super needed at the NHL level right now, you know, and like we were saying earlier with the other young guys, it might just be better developmentally for him to go to the AHL and tear it up. I'll tell you one thing. If he goes to the AHL and has a Carter Verhaeghe like year and leads the league in scoring, he's not going to end up fourth line buried next season with the Panthers the way that Tampa did with Carter Verhaeghe. That is a fact. That's just, you know, it's good that they did that, because he ended up in here with the Panthers and he's now, you know, an amazing top line player. But I feel like if Lundell does end up spending time in the AHL, it would simply be because, you know, as we're saying, there's just only so many jobs down here for these guys, and it may just be best for him to go and be a point per game guy down there instead of play 12 minutes a game here. We'll see how it plays out.
A crazy side note with Verhaeghe, it just blows my mind how many like team systems he went through before he became an NHL regular. I mean, he was included in that trade that sent Michael Grabner to the Leafs. He was with the Leafs for a little bit, then he was with the Islanders for a little bit, and then he signed with Tampa. So there's like three different AHL teams he was with. Then he had like that 1 year of being a fourth liner in Tampa before he actually got his chance in Florida. So having those three chances over there is just crazy for him. So
that's what happens. You start seeing with Sasha Barkov and all your problems are solved. That's the remedy. It's just the Barkov element.
Yeah, it seems like anyone who goes up to play with Barkov just kind of gets better. I mean, you even saw Mason Marchment become a guy that we might see compete for a roster spot. I mean, personally, he was one of the players that I thought wasn't entirely one of the better guys out there, in my opinion. But he, Barkov made even him look pretty good, honestly.
Well, I think Mason Marchment is a very good player, and I think he looked solid on that line with Barkov. Maybe his game isn't as suited to be with Barkov because he's a little bit more grit, meat and potatoes kind of guy. But I really like Mason Marchment. He's another guy who, it was a pleasant surprise last year, and I'm curious to see how he carves out a spot for himself in that bottom six competition.
Yeah, I mean, during that second preseason game, I think he took, like, what, three penalties?
Marchment?
Yeah.
Did he? Yeah. I mean, that, you know, maybe it's preseason, right? I
mean,
you don't want anybody taking three penalties.
But, I mean, I thought maybe Saron Noel kind of has a more disciplined game. And, I mean, he provides a little bit more of that size and grit that I want to see from Mason Marchment. And maybe he's a guy that can kind of squeeze himself out a spot that maybe a lot of people don't expect.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of the guys that has a chance to do that. He's still in camp and he's looked really good to this point. He's kind of matured the way you want to see a player continue to grow. Because as he's made his way through a couple of camps now, this is the most noticeable he's been by far. And it's nice to see somebody, you know, mention that size of his. He's such a good skater. And he's showing off moves with his hands. He's doing a little bit of stick handling and dangling. We've seen him getting physical on the boards. We've seen him drawing penalties. So he's a player you absolutely think, if he doesn't make the roster, would be one of the first call-ups at least. But he's been very impressive so far in Saron Noel.
And then another one that I've liked seeing a lot, we saw him a little bit last season. We have Grigory Denisenko on that list as well. I mean, he didn't really get on the score sheet as much, but just seeing him and his speed and his knowledge of the game, it shows when he's on the ice. He's always making the right plays. He's able to draw penalties with that speed. And he looks to have a very good finishing ability. And we saw him have a really good seven-game run with the Panthers. When he was called up So, I mean, he's another guy that I kind of expect to see play a role on in the NHL roster at some point.
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree. Is it going to be off the top of the season? You know, maybe, maybe not. You know, the thing with Denisenko is he'll flash nicely, and he's at his best when he's in like those gritty areas, when he's along the boards, when he's behind the net, when he's banging around with other players. I think that's when he's really been at his best at this level. When he gets in space, he kind of gets lost on the ice a little bit. And I think that's just something he's adjusting to North American hockey. He's adjusting to the single size rinks that are smaller than what he's used to. And you're seeing a slow progression from Denisenko. It's hard to tell from my perspective to this point. I've just seen him in the one preseason game. And to be honest, it looked kind of similar to what I saw from him last year, which was you're seeing him contribute, but not at the level that you've seen him do when he's been at his best, which is with Team Russia's junior teams. He struggled in the KHL where he was buried on third and fourth lines. I don't want to see him, and I don't think they're going to give him that kind of a poor opportunity here. I think they're going to put him in a place where he's going to get those minutes and he's going to get those valuable shifts so he can play the game that he's, you know, really growing into playing. It's just going to be a little bit before I think he can get to that level where he's creating it more on his own at the NHL level. Hopefully it's not a long wait before he gets there, but I do think there's still some seasoning to be had with Denisenko.
Yeah, I mean, having that short season with the AHL and then sharing the AHL roster with Tampa, where, I mean, like I say a lot of times, Florida players kind of got themselves a bit screwed over with the way Tampa handled playing of their players. And, I mean, he didn't get into that many games at the AHL level. So, I mean, this is his first real opportunity at getting those AHL games this year now. So, I mean, I think this is probably his year to get a lot of those AHL time under his belt, getting some first line opportunities, put up those points. And yeah, so that should be interesting to see. Yeah, I can edit that out.
All right, cool. But, nice.
So yeah, we're gonna have the game starting soon. Thank you so much, David, for coming on. I mean, I appreciate you coming on and talking with us today. And we're gonna have a great season coming up pretty soon.
Yes, and anytime you want to chat, man, just reach out. Happy to do it. Love talking Panthers. I'm sorry I had to cut it a little short today because I've got some daddy duty to get to. But you know, I'm always happy to talk Panthers. And as I said, just it's nice to meet you. Welcome to the Panthers group, and you know, I look forward to seeing you at the rink.
Yeah, look forward to seeing you at the rink as well. Thank you.
All right, brother. Be well.
Be well.
Big thank you again to David for joining us on the podcast. That was such a great interview, and he's been doing such a great job on the Panthers beat throughout the year, so it was a pleasure to have him on. But anyways, I'm joining you after the game. The Panthers won 4-3 in the shootout, and I'm going to start this segment of the podcast with two words. Cerrone Noel. He looked so impressive in that game. He played so well defensively to start. He possesses the speed for a guy who's 6'5". He's able to get in the defensive zone, break up some plays with that long reach. He's 6'5", so of course he has that big stick. And he looks so mature on that end of the ice. And then the Panthers down 3-2. They need a goal to break through, and you have Cerrone Noel out there in front of the net getting a backhand shot to tie the game up and send it to overtime. And then, of course, in the shootout, no one scores up until he goes with the last shot. He sends it through Ottinger's five-hole, and that gives the Panthers a 4-3 lead. So that is one huge, huge takeaway from today's game, or as you're listening to this tomorrow, I'm recording this right after the game ended. But another one I'll have to say is Owen Tippett. I mean, during that first period on the power play, he was taking a lot of shots. He had that opportunity where he had three straight shots, none of them went. He kept getting the rebound. He was in the perfect position to get the rebounds, and he was in the perfect position to shoot. And then one of them gets tipped by Mason Marchment, who's in front of the net. Goes in, that gives the Panthers the 1-0 lead. And also, another player who, I mean, I've been singing his praises all through camp, Logan Hutsko. He looked so fast today. He was really good with breaking the puck out. And he did a spectacular job with that. He gets the second goal of the game. He kind of broke out on a little mini breakaway there, being defended by a few Dallas Stars defenders. And then he fires off a wrist shot that kind of tweaks right behind Chris, behind Jake Ottinger to give the Panthers a 2-0 lead. And Hutzko was just around the net all night. He had a few chances where he set some guys up with his playmaking ability. But the kid just possesses a lot of speed. And he has a lot of hockey IQ as well. He's able to figure out where to make the best plays. And he's done a pretty good job of that. So Logan Hutzko is, again, one of the players that I have a lot of positive takeaways for throughout training camp. And then, of course, you can't forget about how Chris Gibson did. He did have a little bit of a tough time in the second period, but he was facing a lot of high-danger opportunities, and he had a lot of big saves. The one thing I will say about Chris Gibson there was that he did have a lot of trouble controlling those rebounds, and that's why he had a lot of high danger opportunities against him, because there was a lot of second chance opportunities he had to make saves on. But when he was asked to make a big save, he usually was there to make it. I mean, he faced 38 shots. He stopped 35 of them. So, not really bad, especially considering the Panthers were playing a lot of their youngsters today. Not many of the NHL regulars came on the trip to Dallas. But Christopher Gibson making a name for himself as possibly Charlotte's starting goaltender in the AHL. He's looking to fight for a spot as number three on the organizational depth chart. Granted, this isn't a situation where the Panthers would necessarily need a guy like that to have the three-headed goalie monster they had last year with Driedger, Bobrovsky, and Knight towards the end of the season. I think it's going to be more of a Bobrovsky-Knight thing. So we're probably going to see Chris Gibson in the AHL for the majority of the season. But granted, if something happens, it's not bad having Chris Gibson there, because, I mean, we've all seen Montembeau. He's had some bad flashes and some good flashes. So to have a guy that you can kind of trust if something goes wrong in the net, he looks like a guy that could fill in potentially. So that is another positive takeaway there. But one thing I will say is I did catch Marcus Nutavara kind of being out of position a few times. And then Kevin Connaughton also got kind of bodied out of the way by Joe Pavelski, I believe. It was Jason Robertson on a goal the Panthers gave up on the power play. So honestly, as I was saying earlier on in the episode, I think Max Gildon kind of has a chance to further himself in the conversation against a guy like Marcus Nutavara, who he was one of the only NHL regulars who traveled, and I think he didn't look as good as you'd want him to look today. And although you haven't really heard his name much in that game, I think Gildon kind of continued his success defensively. You know, he has that big reach, and you saw him kind of skate with a lot of promise. He can carry the puck as well. So I think Gildon still has a very good chance at beating a guy like Nutavara out for a spot. But as we were saying during the episode and the interview with David, there's a lot of guys who can step into that position. And I think it's a luxury that he could have being in the AHL, like we were talking with Lundell, who also didn't play tonight. But anyways, another guy I definitely want to give a shout-out before this episode is over is Grigory Denisenko. He didn't get on the board at all, but he looked very good skating. He had a few opportunities where he set a guy up, and the other guy couldn't finish. But Denisenko, again, looking very comfortable on North American ice, getting into zone, getting the puck into the zone, creating stuff. But he will definitely benefit from being in the AHL, which he will probably start in, just because there's so many spots that are being taken by so many guys. There's just not enough roster spots and ice time to go around for a guy like Denisenko. So he's a guy you probably see in the AHL, but he's a guy you'd be excited for. He's a guy you definitely should watch some Charlotte Checkers games for. So that's something to be excited about. And also Alexi Hepponiemi. He also has that speed. He has that two-way ability. And you saw, like, in overtime, he had that one opportunity where Owen Tippett kind of threw that puck at the net. He had a little bit of juice on that, and where Hepponiemi just tries to tip that past Ottinger. It almost worked, but Ottinger had to make a pretty good save on him to keep the game tied. So overall, the Panthers starting 3-0-0 in the preseason, definitely something to hang your hats on. I mean, granted, preseason games aren't the end-all be-all, and things can go completely different during the regular season, but seeing a lot of the young guys compete, especially having a lot of the young guys compete against an entirely, almost entirely full Dallas Stars roster, I think that's something that you can say, hey, the Panthers' prospects are pretty darn good here, especially seeing a guy like Cyron Noel kind of be one of the better players on the ice. He's a guy that could be competing for a roster spot still. He could probably see him in the bottom six, maybe. I mean, it's still a long preseason to go. You still have roughly 2 weeks before the season starts. So, should be interesting to see how that goes. But anyways, that will be all for today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed. You can follow me on Twitter at ColbyDGuy. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Big Cat Banter. And also, don't be shy in following our friend David Dwork. He provides a lot of great Florida Panthers coverage. He's been doing it for years. You can follow him on Twitter at David Dwork. He's been on the Florida Panthers beat with WPLG Local 10 for quite a long time. He has his Chirping the Cats podcast. But definitely give David a follow and tell him thanks for popping on the podcast. This has been Colby Guy here with Big Cat Banter. We appreciate you being here, and I will talk to you guys next week.